Here they are again, Cliff and Kendall, those two big old boys from... whatever.
3, 2, 1, 2, 3.
I'm crying, I'm crying,
I'm crying.
Out of chocolate!
Live it, do it.
Play off that candle.
Tell
mama all.
Hey, Cliff. How you doing?
Whoa, I'm doing just fine. Kendall, how are you in the world?
Oh, Cliff, I'm just tired. I'm just tired. I've been doing so much work, on this ride tour and today as well in this nursery.
Well, maybe you're tired because you were up so late last night. I don't know what you were doing, but I kept thinking, I don't know why he's up so late because we have to get up early in the morning because Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn's friend asked us to come and help keep the nursery here at the church this morning.
I know. Well, I got so caught up because I was... 4th of July was not too long ago, and I missed my chance to watch Jaws, and I was like, well, I have to watch Jaws. And then after I watched Jaws, I was like, well, I got to watch Independence Day, because it was 4th of July. And then I just got on Tyra, and I watched so many movies, and I worked my way all the way up to The Muppets, and I was just up for forever.
Well, that's a lot of mistakes in a row that you made.
That's my life story.
That would be a good name for your autobiography. A lot of mistakes I made in a row.
I think it's perfect.
I think it's selling out already. Pre-orders on Amazon.
No, Cliff, today, speaking of time and it just rolling by,
is on my
it's not on our side.
No, it ain't.
It's not. No. We're talking about clocks today.
Oh, I'm too old to use that stupid, have you seen the stupid face app that everybody's posted?
Oh, yes, I have. And I thought tomorrow I'm going to post a picture of myself like as I am right now and say, oh, look what the app did. Oh, wait a minute, that's just me.
Oh, well, I would save yourself the embarrassment and not do that. But I think it would be, I hate it. At this point, anybody whose picture comes through, I'm like, block. I'm so tired of seeing everybody's damn old face.
I know, won't we be scrolling through those pictures soon enough? All the people we know?
I know. Well, we'll be dead. The Earth is way too close to keeling over.
It's coming off the hinges. It really is.
So I guess in a way I understand people wanting to see how they'll look because they'll be dead and they'll never get to see it.
They're like, well, I'll never see myself as an old man.
I retract my hatred and I now understand the trend.
I don't think they have the bandwidth for our faces, anyway. Something that I do enjoy is a good clock, don't you, Cliff?
I love to rock out with my clock out, but really quickly before we go to clocks, I want to, when Cliff and Kendall, when we get really big in like popularity-wise, we can release our own app where you can see what your face would look like if you were as fat as we are.
I'm going to warn you, it's just going to be a blob of skin on the screen.
It's not going to be pretty. Kendall, would you tell me something about a clock?
Oh, well, you caught me off guard. I thought we were going to talk for 20 minutes about something else real quick.
We can talk about whatever you want.
I set my notes down here. I got to find them again. Okay, Cliff, did you know the oldest clock in the world was created in the year 1386, and it was from located in Salisbury, England.
Is it still running?
Still running.
Should we go catch it? Kendall, speaking of England and clocks, Big Ben. Everybody thinks they know so much about Big Ben.
Hey, look, kids.
Hey, look, it's Big Ben. But they don't, because people think that the clock is named Big Ben, but it's not. Big Ben is just the name.
What?
Yeah, spoiler alert, Big Ben is the name of the largest of the five bells, which hang within the clock. and not...
Oh, I feel like I've been lied to all these years.
And how many times have you walked right by it and said, hey, Big Ben, Big Ben, and you know...
Well, you know, we never took the Big Ben tour. I'm sure that's exactly what they say on it.
They probably did. We didn't want to pay it. We just sat on one of those rooftop buses. I bet all of the guards, though, when we were at the palace, I bet they just laughed and laughed when we were talking about, oh, the clock, check Big Ben, see what time it is. It's a clock.
They're like dumb tourists.
I bet they laughed once they got off duty that night.
Isn't this a wonderful evening? Oh,
we're surrounded by little angels. Sugar love.
Oh, they are beautiful. Oh, my goodness, Daffodil. Aren't they beautiful? They remind me of Funky and Opie when they were just mere babies.
Oh, some of the most wonderful times of my life, dear.
And just watching you with the babies, dear, it reminds me so much of you as a father. It brings a tear to my eye. All these babies are really getting them in the loving-fest mood.
I know. Well, there are several in here, but, I mean, they're very cute, but... I don't like things that can't go to the bathroom by themselves.
Oh, dear. They do need some help with that, dear.
You've got to help your fellow man, even if it's your fellow baby boy.
Quite right, dear. What a good sentiment.
Well, I guess that's right.
So, now, Mr. Shawbottom, I know that you love clocks. I know you have that wall of just every type of clock on your wall, and they all just go off at once, and you have to always keep them wound.
Oh, I love it. You know, I take about an hour and a half to 2 hours every night winding the clocks, getting them ready for the next
clocks,
day.
Clocks, dear, they make me crazy.
Oh, Sugarlum, you know, it's a wonderful nightly ritual that I have.
I know, dear, but the ticking will drive you mad.
Oh, no, it's the only way I can sleep, dear, is by the sound of 10 or 20 ticking clocks.
Well, I know how you feel. I have to turn on Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast to go to sleep.
Yeah, I can only sleep if we're on...
Oh, my goodness, that's a lot to hear while you're going to sleep.
Oh, yes, I don't recommend it, boys.
Oh, dear, we must... I think that one needs a diaper change, dear. I'm on it.
Oh, whoa, I'll get the wipes, dear.
Oh, Crockpot over there.
Look at him go.
Poor Crockpot. You can tell her that her vocal cords are just still in such pain from where she had...
Oh, no, poor thing. Helpless.
What is the thing that she had? Tonsillectomy. I forget. Yeah, it's the throat surgery. What do you call it? Tonsillectomy.
Yeah. Oh, it was awful. She's just been dealing with it forever, the poor thing.
The doctor, hate it for her. I know. Doctor doesn't know when she's going to be able to speak again. But, you know, everybody, we have these troubles in our lives, these terrible things. Kendall, would you tell us something good that you know or that has happened to you and a clock was involved?
A clock-related incident. I do, you know, I love Back to the Future, and I always loved the scene of the clocks, but I'm trying to think of something in my own life that I had a lot of clock problems with. I mean, I'm late to everything. So does that count?
No.
I look at the clock and I'm like, oh, I'm running way behind. Well, do you have a good clock incident that's happened to you?
I have too many to mention, Kendall. the only thing that I think of when I think of clocks is really, my grandfather, he used to work on clocks, and he had like a wood shop, so he built clocks. And
yeah,
you know, could do all that, and he was a person in town that people, if you had a nice old clock that stopped working, you'd take it to him to fix it.
Oh, that's fun. I always like watch people work on clocks, and I'm like, I would love to be able to do that because it just seems so zen. But I would throw the thing.
Yeah. Now you know why my mother's and my father's house both have 200 clocks on the wall.
Well, Susan's grandfather is just like Mr. Snodbottom, has clocks everywhere. They're constantly like... clicking all over the place.
Yeah. I like a clock in every room so I can know what time it is. Do you?
Yeah, no, I like that. It's just when you have 50 of them in one room, it may be a bit much.
Well, c'est la vie, to each his own, you know.
It reminds me too much of how time is passing idly by without us doing anything.
I guess it's true. You know, time is just, it's this human concept that we made up.
It's money. I know.
And it's also money.
It's money. Time is money. Yeah, you know, I'm reading this book about, like, Homo sapiens and, like, when, you know, like, we started to realize what time was and when we realized, you know, that we were going to stand up and how everybody changed when we stood up and the spine, just all kind of stuff. It's amazing. But, yeah, time is a construct.
Oh, I don't really know what you said. I lost interest when I heard you say sapiens.
Well, I'm used to it.
But it's been 37 years of people losing interest, mainly. in your life and in mine. And in everything that I say. Sometimes I feel like I'm invisible, except then when I look at myself and I see that I'm the size of a mountain.
How can I be so large and so small at the same time?
How can I? Isn't it funny to have those two competing thoughts
at once? It's a little bit funny. The sadness inside and on the outside. Oh, Cliff, did you know that old penny coins are used to keep London's Big Ben clock?
Penny. But is that what they say? Penny for your thoughts, Gubna.
Penny for your thoughts. For the clock. They were actually saying the clock. We just didn't know it.
Oh, this is the clock, Gubna. See, that's been lost in translation. It was penny for the clock, Gubna. I gotta go wine Big Ben. Yeah. Kendra, you know, we are big artists. We went to art school several years in lifetimes ago. So we know about art, but there's an artist named Siren Elise Wilhelmsen, and she designed a clock that knits a scarf every year with its movements.
What, doesn't the clock have enough to do without knitting a scarf as well?
You know, it's probably a comment on our busy, busy society.
Ain't that the truth, Cliff?
It's like the episode of Andy Griffith's show, Man in a Hurry, where a man comes in and he's in a hurry.
A man in a hurry.
But it's Sunday afternoon. Like, you know, it's Sunday morning right now where those babies... Oh, that baby just spit up all over Mrs. Potter Butterturn's bird hat.
Oh, well, she's prepared. She's pulling out her little diaper bag and it's got, like, wipes in it. And she's just... Oh, she looks like a... Like, she has four arms. She's just going so fast. It's all clean.
I thought that was the goddess Ganesh or whatever over there.
I would let Mr. Tom, but I just walked over and patted his on his head.
Oh. Now, Kendra, you're trying to get me to not tell you about this episode of Andy Griffith, but it's not going to work.
Oh, I wasn't trying at all. I want to hear all about it.
Well,
I can't wait.
It opens like this. Now, there's a man who's coming through town, and he's a big businessman, and his car breaks down, but happens to be on a Sunday afternoon when everything's closed, don't you know? And so it's just they go through this crazy, you know, he's in a hurry, and he wants to get his car fixed, but it's only like Goober, who's at the filling station, and Wally's not there, and they're like, what sound is the car making? Is it puckada, puckada, puckada? And just, he just learns a lesson that, you know what, sometimes in life, you have to slow
slow down.
But you have to listen sometimes to just what the universe is telling you, right? If your car breaks down on a Sunday afternoon in Mayberry, it's probably telling you, slow it down, bitch in a hurry.
Yeah, well, you know, I do. I think a lot, like, when something's going wrong or something's happening, it's like, because I think it's one of the best places to go. Instead of being real angry, just think, all right, well, there's a reason this is happening. whether it is or not, you know.
Well, and it is all of that. Is very like something we said on the show once, and by we I mean me. It was one of the great statements I made, and it was about how the bad times, the bad things that you're going through, it really it's like traffic on the road, and that it is just it stops you, it enrages you, it ruins your life while you're stuck in it. But eventually the cars will move. And you'll be driving free again, and you'll get off on your exit, and you're like, oh yeah, we were stuck for a minute or for hours, but then, you know, we moved on.
And doesn't it feel like you're always in a construction zone, though? Oh, I know. This Falkland Island traffic is terrible.
Oh, just there's so many sheep on the road every day, another flock.
What in the hell? Cliff, is it time to tell you a joke already?
It is time, and that's not a joke.
And that's not a joke either. It's time for Cliff and Kendall's bad jokes. Oh, they're all bad. Let's just rename the show Bad Jokes.
Just rename it Bad Show. Just be honest.
But no, Cliff, I've brought somebody back to talk about. I'm so excited. I know you've been waiting to hear about him. The Pope.
Oh.
He was running super early for his flight.
Well, and
he asked his driver on the way to the airport if he could drive around for a while because they have time to kill, and he hadn't driven a car since becoming the Pope. And naturally, he's a bit rusty, so he's driving poorly when suddenly he sees police lights behind him. He pulls him over, and the officer comes up to the window. He's like, "We have a situation. I pulled over an important figure." And the chief said, "How important? A governor?" He said, "Nope, he's bigger." The chief said, "What, a celebrity?" He said, "No, bigger." And they just kept going like 20 times like that. It just went on and on and on. And finally, he said, "Well, who is it?" And the captain said, "Well, actually, I'm not sure, but the Pope is his driver."
Oh,
it might be an oldie but goodie, but it's so good. You gotta say it again.
Kendo, I love how you think anybody could remember a joke we told 25 years ago when this show started.
Hey, there are people out there. Like, if Mary Lou Hanna happened to be listening to the show, she would be like, it was October 24th, 1972, and Kendall said this, and Cliff said, "Kendall, don't say that joke."
All right, speaking of things to not say, stop saying whatever you're saying right now. All right, I've got a joke for you. It is this one. It starts like this. Just after Dave was admitted to the hospital, he heard a knock at the door of his room. Knock.
Who is it?
Who's there? Come in, Dave. Who's said. There? And in came a woman. "I'm your doctor," she said. "Please take off your clothes." And Dave asked her if she meant for him to remove all of his clothing, and she told him that was just in fact what she did mean. So he took off all his clothes and she examined him. Nose, throat, oh, wow. Chest, stomach, wiener, testicles, thighs, feet, asshole. When she finished examining him, she announced, "You may get into bed. Do you have any questions?" "Just one," said Dave. "Why did you knock?"
Why did she knock? Well, Cliff, I've got something else that's pretty damn funny.
Oh.
I'll say so myself. A guy is running late for a meeting. And he can't find a place to park, and in desperation, he begins to pray. He says, "Please, Lord, if you help me find a parking spot, I promise to go to church every Sunday. I'll never drink again." A moment later, this beautiful empty spot opened up right next to the entrance, and he was like, "Oh, never mind, found one."
Oh, terrible.
Fair weather prayer.
Fair weather prayer there. Kendall, two car salesmen were sitting at the bar. One complained to the other. He said, "You know, boy, business sucks. If I don't sell more cars this month, I'm going to lose my f***ing ass." Too late.
Ooh.
He noticed a beautiful blonde sitting two stools away. Immediately, he apologized for his language. "That's okay," the blonde replied. "If I don't sell more ass this month, I'm going to lose my f***ing car."
Ah. Well, look, they could team up.
That was the head whore.
I was saying whore. What? She needs to get back to the whore.
I guess this business is bad all over.
Just bad. Cliff, a husband, speaking of bad, comes home from work thinking his wife is in danger.
And he
sees the children outside. They're in their pajamas. It's like the end of the day. They're playing in the mud. Empty food boxes, wrappers strewn all over the front yard. The door is ajar. Like, shit's everywhere, the TV's blaring, kitchen dishes filled with sinks, fills the sinks, dog food spilled all over the floor. I mean, it was a mess.
Oh, sounds messy.
He's like, I'm sure somebody has broken into the house. And he comes around and he says, "What happened here today?" And she looked up and smiled and asked how his day went. And he said, "But what happened here?" And she said, "You know, every day when you come home from work and you ask me what in the world I do all day?" He said, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, today I didn't do it."
Oh. All right, here we go, Kendall. A doctor, a lawyer, and no, not an Indian chief, an architect, were arguing about who had the smartest dog. This is like you, Kendall. You'll like this because it's about dogs.
Oh, you know, I love a good dog joke.
Kendall, they decided to settle the issue by what but getting all the dogs together and seeing whose could perform the most impressive feat. Okay, Rover, ordered the architect, and Rover trotted over to a table and in 4 minutes constructed a complete scale model of Notre Dame out of toothpicks. And the
is
quite remarkable, and the architect slipped Rover a cookie, and everyone agreed that it was a pretty darn impressive performance. Hit it, Spot, commanded the doctor. Spot lost no time in performing an emergency cesarean on a cow. 3 minutes later, the proud mother of a healthy little heifer was all sewed up and doing fine. Not bad, conceded the onlookers. And Spot got a cookie from the doctor. All right, the lawyer said. It's your turn, Bowser. And over went Bowser and screwed the other two dogs, took their cookies, and went to lunch. Oh, Bowser.
Their cookies.
He took her. Talk about tossing your cookies and losing your lunch.
Whoa.
Cliff,
I have to say I got a little distracted while you're telling that joke, because look at that cute baby over there, and it's just like looking up at Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn. It is like love at first sight. They're just staring at each other. Look how beautiful it is.
Oh, it is. It's just it, when I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Oh, Cliff, that perfect picture. You're going to bring a tear to my eye while I'm looking at these babies. And I do see that the snack table is unguarded at the moment since they're dealing with the babies. I think we should go get us a snack.
Oh, yeah, let's go. What do you want, cream spinach or cream corn?
Ooh, I thought they had donuts.
No, they're creamed. They're creamed.
Oh, we'll be right back.
Cliff and Kendall will be right back after they're fed and watered. Welcome back to the show. I hope you're ready for fat people.
Slow down.
Yeah.
Welcome back. I love the remixes. I love the jazz scat element of the show. I love, you know, little baby ducks. Everything. These little babies in this nursery, they just keep pouring in. There's like two dozen in here now.
It was beautiful, that song you were singing to them during the break. You were just, it was this beautiful lullaby. I think it was a Madonna song, actually, but you had turned it into a lullaby, and it was beautiful.
Well, it's from Ray of Light. You know, she wrote it for her, then her baby, Lola. Never forget who you are.
Little star. Shining brighter than all the stars in the sky.
They were moved and they stopped moving and squirming when they heard the perfect pitch. It's like when a nightingale.
Three of them had bowel movements.
It's good because Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn, she's been feeding them strained prunes all morning, but it hadn't been working. Mr. Snotbottom has had several bowel attacks because he snuck some of the prunes.
Well, of course. Can't keep them away from him.
Can't keep a good man down, Kendall.
No.
You can't.
You have any more information about Fox for me? I'm dying to know about
Kendall,
Fox.
Kendall, what's something that makes you watch the clock? Anything?
Yes. Whenever I have to do like 1 minute of any kind of exercise, I'm watching that clock with hawk eyes. And I'm like, how does a minute continue on for this long?
So
when I'm doing something fun, long. It lasts in no time.
Well, what I think is so cool, Kendall, and I want all the teens and young folks to know, is that o'clock, you know, we say that every day, several times a day, o'clock, yeah. O'clock. It's really a contraction of stroke of the clock, not stroke of the cock, but stroke of the clock.
It
comes from 15th century references to medieval mechanical clocks.
Well, they're just abbreviating everything.
It's like, you know, that's what I hate. I hate when people say pop culture. You don't have time to say Euler. You don't have time to say popular. I hate when people say mac and cheese. You don't have time in your busy schedule to say aroni. You're just above that. And so say macaroni.
I just say mac. Give me some mac.
That's when you know I have that dirty look. I say it.
Oh, it just rolls off the tongue, Cliff. And you know how all the kids are saying things like soch and I can't think of anything else because I don't know. When they say it, it just catches me off guard.
Oh yeah, it catches me off. Kendall, I got a bomb to drop. Are you ready?
Uh-oh. Careful.
And for once, it's not a single. Did you love my B-side of my single last week, Kendall?
Cliff, you know I did. You know I did. It moved me.
About when the package just will not arrive, which, speaking of, I did get an email today confirming that my vinyl is still on the way. And it's still on the way, Kendall. I've still got hope out there in the streets. But Kendall, clockwise and counterclockwise, do you know what they were really originally called?
No, but I thought you were changing the subject to clock. I thought you were like, clockwise, we're talking about this.
No. And clockwise,
what were they originally called?
Well, I think that it would be fun if we renamed them Cliffwise and Kendallwise. But
which way would I go?
I don't know. That's TBD. But clockwise and counterclockwise were originally Sunwise and Widdershins.
You really caught me off guard with the Widdershins.
Before clocks were common. That's with the rotating of the circle. They'd say, move that damn circle, Widdershins, you idiot.
No wonder they changed that.
No wonder. You know how happy they were to finally be able to drop Widdershins?
I'm happy to drop it. Did you know that I watched this show about you know, the atomic clocks, like where in or like Greenwich Mean Time, they have like the super accurate clock that like runs off of like kryptonite or something special.
I thought that was only in the Superman comic.
I don't know, one of those metal or diamonds, but it like it runs perfectly, and all the clocks in the world, like what that say are their atomic clocks, they ping this clock to get the accurate time. And I was watching the show, and he said like 40 billion clocks ping this every millisecond. I was like, geez, that's a lot of bandwidth. No wonder we can't get on the internet.
Wow. And you know what happens when there's precipitation outside? When that happens, they're pinging in the rain. Just pinging in the rain.
You kill me. Oh, dear, dear, dear. That's a wonderful pun.
Oh, there are so many babies now. I've got to go and rock about 6 of them to sleep.
Yeah, maybe we should ask Charles to come help us. Oh, no. I think he's fine cleaning up the, taking the trash cans to the dumpster.
Yeah, he's out there. Last I saw, he was out vaping at the dumpster behind the church.
Oh, no. We should ask one of the churchgoers to help us. Do you think so, dear? There's so many children.
Oh, I don't know. It's not proper to interrupt them during their worship hour, girl.
Oh, dear, that is correct, dear. Well,
wouldn't be proper etiquette.
Maybe Crockpot can help, dear. Drink that tea faster, dear.
Oh, yes, Crockpot. She's holding my 4 babies right now. Oh, which they've each got very terrible colic, boys, and she's wrapping each one on the shoulder, trying to loosen the flame.
Oh, looks like she'd be such a great mother.
Oh, she would if she had quadruplets like that. God forbid.
Dear, she's doing a wonderful job. If only we had three more of her.
Oh, if only, dear. Oh, no. Two of them, two of those toddlers, they're fighting over that rubber ball.
That's what I was, I kept trying to ask you what they're doing. They really got their hands full.
They do. They better separate these fighting ones, or they're gonna have a riot on their hands.
Don't you wanna help some people? It's a good time in the world to help people, don't you think? Oh, and you're helping us now with all those.
Well, I think that it is a good time in the world to help people. It always has been since the beginning of time, and it will never cease to be.
Well, you've got questions. We've got answers.
We got them.
Dear Cliff and Kendall.
Dear us.
Dear us. All right, Cliff, I got a letter.
All right, read it.
I got a letter. I'm going to read it.
Spell it out for us, baby.
Oh, God, this print is so small. So I read it. Dear Cliff and Kendall. Got to a good start. I was at a sold-out performance recently, seated next to a family with two young daughters, and the youngest daughter had an LED light-up shoe that would flash and blink whenever she stomped her feet. She quietly watched the first half of the show, but got restless during the second half and began stomping her feet to watch the lights, which was extremely distracting in the dark venue. I gently asked if she would please stop and thanked her when she obliged, just as I would have done if she were my own daughter. But a few minutes later, the family got up and they left. Oh my goodness. On the way out, her father said to me, about my daughter's shoes, she's f***ing four, in a tone that suggested I should have kept quiet and let her continue doing it. Was I wrong to ask her to stop? The show began at 9:15, and while not inappropriate, wasn't geared toward entertaining kids. I'm not surprised she was bored, but her light-up shoes were ruining my experience, and her parents were doing nothing about it. How could I have handled this situation differently? And that's distracted in the Bushtown suburbs.
I would say that you should talk to the manager. And
get me your manager.
Or, you know, I have at times, I don't remember exactly like why, but I feel like I have at times sat where I sort of like covered part of my vision. With, you know, because something was offending me so.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, well, you could also do that. Because if the kid wasn't, if all it was the light ups that was bothering you.
Yeah. You know. Well, see, if, I don't know, usually I think if somebody like her is sitting around a whole bunch of other people in the stadium, like four people are going to be like, hey, can you turn those off? I usually wait to see if anybody else is going to say it first.
Right. I would say just, you know, try to make the world a better place, spread love of whatever you were thinking about spreading.
That's good help.
Whoa, all right, Kendall, here we go. I got a letter here.
All right.
So that was part of it. Let me open up this next part. Okay. Oh, here it is. It says, Dear Cliff and Kendall, one question. Where have all the smart Hollywood producers gone? Is sex all they're able to write about? It's disgusting.
It is.
Kendall and Cliff, I grew up in the 70s and am far from a prude, but why is it so difficult to find a clean TV show these days? They say that sex sells. If that's true, why is The King of Queens so popular? It's consistently one of the top-rated shows. If I want to see raw sex, I'll rent a movie or a video. Give me a break. And while I'm at it, violence is something else I can live without. Isn't it scary enough to see someone getting shot? Do they need to show someone's head being blown completely off? Cliff and Kendall, am I way off the mark here? And that's signed Stunned in the South Bushtown suburbs.
Well,
Stunned. Let me tell you, there's something I learned early on when I was a kid that I'm going to impart to them. There's a channel button thing on there, and you can just change it. If you don't like it, watch something else.
Orlando. I can't believe you went there. This is like hot subjects.
Oh, is it?
I can't believe you would say that on the air. But you did, and we'll have to air it because, you know, we're dedicated to truth and justice here on Cliff and Kendall.
Truth and justice.
It's no longer the American way, but I still like to think it's the Cliff and Kendall way.
Well, you know, if you are watching something that you're like, oh, that grosses me out, you could just put your hand up over your face, like when you're eating popcorn, and be like, ooh, and then look back when the bad part's over.
Oh, definitely. I do that when movies are too gross. I cover my eyes.
All right, Cliff, well, we have really helped some people.
Well, that's debatable, but we've sure had a great segment called Dear Cliff and Kendall.
I thought we had a great time.
I think, listen,
oh, dear, goodness, dear, I just need a few more ounces of formula, dear. We're running very low.
Oh, I don't know. I thought maybe you boys had some extra formula here in the booth.
No, we've got this, like, powder left over from donuts. Maybe you could, like, pour some milk in that.
Oh, okay, that's got, like, roach body parts and God knows what else in there.
Obviously, you don't have a child.
Oh, quite obviously, a boy. But we've got to find some more formula, dear. We've got to find it.
Maybe we should check the kitchen.
Oh, perhaps. I'll run there. You go rock all those babies, the ones that are crying.
You've got it, dear.
There are a lot of growing babies out there. It just keeps piling up. They keep bringing them in.
10 million strong and growing. What was that? Milk?
That Huggy. No, yeah, I think it was like Petey. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't remember. Oh, no, it was Flintstones Vitamins.
Oh, yeah. It? Yeah, I think you're right. That sounds right. I remember once I was at my cousin's house, and we were all supposed to be taking a nap. And my cousin and I were awake. We couldn't go to sleep. And so he snuck out of the bedroom to go find us a snack.
Mm-hmm.
And what he came back with was Flintstones Vitamins.
I'd be like, try again, buddy. you got a little Debbie up there, something like, what was it? Nobody does it like Sara Lee.
Right.
It's like, maybe remember that theme song.
Why don't you go thaw out a Sara Lee cake for us?
That's my kind of snack.
But he was always really skinny, so probably to him, a handful of Flintstone vitamins was a fulfilling meal. You got a friend in me. Kendall, speaking of my beautiful voice, let's go back to my A side and my B side. I don't want no sun. I'm still trying to get it to Bushel Town to KBSH. I'm trying to email, but because, you know, they keep changing who the programmer is, it just sends me back all these mailer daemons that I, you know, I'm not reaching the person I'm sending it to. So, but I really want my single to get out there, and it's becoming a big thing, I think, it feels like to me. And so when you heard my B-side last week, what were the feelings? What was the emotion? What did it leave you thinking?
It left me thinking I wanted more.
Oh, you're right. It did.
And
it
left
me
a break.
Impression with everyone. That's what I keep hearing, is that they wanted more. So what I did after I heard that, and really after I just anticipated hearing it, I went back to the studio, got the guys back together, the studio.
I figured you would. I know that that's your favorite place to go.
And, well, because, you know, I got to find somewhere to get away. We're with everybody all the time, and I love everybody, but I need somewhere that's just mine. And when I go to that studio around the corner from our hotel here on the Falkland Islands, Busy 111, and I get the guys in the band, studio musicians back together, it just feels like that's where I'm at home. That's what they tell me, because they call me the voice. They say the voice is here. And
the voice is home.
Yeah. And so what we did, we recorded a C-side for the single, and I'm not sure, it may have never been done before, but we're going to put out the C-side, and I've got a preview of it here today. You ready for it?
No.
You ready? I do. It's here. It's this tape right here.
I'm super ready for it, but I just don't. I still don't trust you. I've been burned too many times.
Kendall, this is the C-side. Remember, no, I don't want no sun. That's the hit. Then the B-side from last week is In the Arms of the Mailman. That it's like a heart tugger, you know?
It's just like the storyline is so moving.
I love it. The story through. I feel like anybody who listened to our show last week, if they were trying to like fall asleep, definitely that song put them right out. But anyway, I've got the C-side, Kendall, and if you will give us a quick countdown, I'll click play.
Here we go. Three, two, one.
Give me a break, now I know what it takes. I'm putting a new face on the old one, ready for anything. Playing with fate, not a moment too late. Showing the whole world, nothing can get me down. Ooh-hoo.
Give me a break,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, Cliff, are you kidding me? I've told you time and time again, speaking of blocks, that I will not deal with this.
Shut up. That was just a St. Patrick's Day prank that I knew, because that one week I just accidentally had all my copies of it here. This was just a prank. I was just pranking you with that. And, you know, Sebastian's memory. Remember, he used to be such a prank monkey. And I've got the real tape right here. Here it is.
All right.
It's my C-side. Give us another
countdown.
Yeah, I need it. I need, yeah.
Give me a break. I sure deserve it. It's time I made it to the top. Give me a break. I'm looking for it. Get behind. Pull out every star. I want a happy ending. You're tired of pretending. Let them get the best of me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I really thought that this is my C-side. It's on the other side of this tape.
I'm really going to walk out of here.
Right. For the first time ever, you're going to walk out.
All right.
And listen, by the way, you should be grateful on this Sunday morning, surrounded by all these little babies, that you got to hear some of that most excellent music ever recorded in the history of mankind. Both those versions of Give Me a Break.
It's not that
give
I don't
me a break
like
about
such a
you're whining
reaction to them now, because I'm always expecting an A or B or C side, and I'm getting Give Me a Break.
Well, Kendall, just settle down by the seaside, because it's time for my seaside, and give us a countdown.
All right, I'm just gonna. You want to hear it? Here it goes.
No, it deserves
okay, three,
the buildup.
Two, one.
Don't start at three. Start at 5, at least. I'd prefer 10, but start at 5 at least.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Start spreading the news. I'm staying today. I want to be a part of it. Falklands. These vagabond drawers, they're longing to stay. Right here and drop in the heart of it. Falklands. I want to wake up on that island that's covered with sheep. find I'm king of the hill like Hank Hill. Top of the heap, my right or blues are melting away. I'm gonna make a brand new start of it in the Falkland Islands. If I can make it here, I'll make it anywhere. It's up to you, Falklands, 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 Falklands. It's up to you. These rides are blue, these rides are blue, melting away, melting away. These rides are blue. I'm flushing them away. Watch me. I'm about to make a brand new start of it here in the Falkland Islands. And you bet your ass, Kendall, if I can make it here. No, I can make it just about everywhere. Come on, come through Falkland, Falkland.
Well, Cliff, I don't really know what it was, but it was great, and I'm so glad it was your song. Finally.
Well, you have been the whole time the song was playing. All you were doing were eyeing those little spoonfuls of strained peas that Crock-Pot is feeding that baby over there.
Well, I'm so hungry. I told you like an hour ago I needed to eat. My blood sugar's dropped.
You've got to take your back pill. I know.
I do.
Well,
do.
It's too late because we've got to do one more segment before we get out of this nursery.
Oh, Cliff, I have a huge confession to make.
I completely lost
my things you should know. It is unlike me to not know things, but I've walked out without them. I don't know where they are. I've looked everywhere.
Well, they probably, maybe one of the kids picked him up and is chewing on him. You know, you never know.
Well, I apologize, but I would love to answer your things you should know. And I am deeply regretful of not having.
I'm going to walk out.
Now we're even. There's the Property Brothers. We're the Podcasting Brothers.
Ugh.
We got to even each other out.
Kendall, gross. Making me think of the Property Brothers. Kendall, what's the maximum number of rodent hairs the FDA allows in a standard 16-ounce package of macaroni? Is it 16, 32, or 64?
Oh, I was going to say the answer better be zero. I'm going to have to go with 16 because it would hurt if it was.
Oh, you can only have 16 rodent hairs per pound. Isn't that refreshing? Listen, that just tells you that every other substance, foodstuff, it also has rodent hairs in it. That's all that means.
Oh, God.
God?
If someday you find yourself coughing up a hairball, you'll know what kind of hair it is. Kendall, what deadbeat nation's unpaid United Nations bill reached a record $2.3 billion in 2001?
United Nations, was it ours? America's?
And I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. There ain't no doubt I love this deadbeat land. Yes, it was the USA.
Good old USA. Doesn't surprise me.
Kendall, you're batting 1,000.
We gotta pay our debts back.
that's Kendall's platform he's running on. Kendall, what Tom Cruise movie did Pauline Kael call a recruiting poster that isn't concerned with recruiting, but with being a poster?
Oh, yeah, okay. Top Gun.
Top Gun, not Bottom Gun.
Danger Zone, Cliff, danger.
Oh, Kendall, we have one more to see.
Oh, I think I should just not ask questions because I'm doing so great.
All right, Kendall, this last one that you have drawn here, this is a daily double. So you get to wager your amount.
Oh, you know I'm going to wager
any amount that you choose on whether you get this last one right or not.
I'm going to wager the whole pot.
All right, he's betting everything. And that means he's got everything to lose, folks. Here we go.
That's huge.
Kendall, what does the abbreviation BIS stand for at the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show?
Well, that has to be Best in Show.
Oh, it's not IBS, which we hear about around here all the time. It's BIS. And Kendall, allow me to crown you this week's Best in Show for knowing four of the Kendall must his.
But if you need to look around you because the world must be ending right now, any moment.
Well, if we needed the last sign of the apocalypse, here it is. But now, Kendall,
here come the horsemen.
It's been a wonderful week. I hope the listeners have had a great break listening with us and loving with us. As we travel through this big universe all together.
What a universe it is.
When I think to myself.
What a universe.
What a universe. Kendall, are you?
I've had a wonderful time. And I'm so glad that all these babies are sleeping now. Because now I feel like I can leave the booth in peace and get some of those desserts over there that they got on the table.
Oh, I think that's a great idea. Kendall, I have one quote. Do you have a quote?
Oh my God, yes, I do have a quote. Right, but you start us.
We can learn to rejoice in even the smallest blessings our life holds. It is easy to miss our own good fortune. Often happiness comes in ways we don't even notice. It's like a cartoon I saw of an astonished-looking man saying, "What was that?" And the caption below read, "Bob experiences a moment of well-being." The ordinariness of our good fortune can make it hard to catch. The key is to be here, fully connected with the moment, paying attention to the details of ordinary life. By taking care of ordinary things, our pots and pans, our clothing, our teeth, we rejoice in them. When we scrub a vegetable or brush our hair, we are expressing appreciation. Friendship toward ourselves and toward the living quality that is found in everything. This combination of mindfulness and appreciation connects us fully with reality and brings us joy. And that was just in a fortune cookie I got last night.
Oh, well, it was wonderful that they're getting so thorough these days. This was not on the fortune cookie, but I did read this, Cliff. The mind is like a clock that is constantly running down and must be wound up daily with good thoughts.
Good thoughts.
So wind her up.
Wind it up. Oh, I do have one more clock thing I had to tell you.
Right.
And we can end on it, because I just think it's going to blow your mind. Are you ready?
I'm scared. Yes. Hit me.
All right. Hit me with your best clock. All right. Kendall, I want you to know that before alarm clocks, there was a profession called a knocker-upper who would go around and knock on your door until you woke up.
Mind blown.
Blown. Don't you wish? I wish I could go back to simpler times, just be a damn knocker-upper. All right, well, I'm Cliff.
And I'm Kendall. We'll see you here next week.
All right.
Be quiet as we go out, Cliff. Don't wake your baby.
Oh, shh. They're asleep.
Thanks for listening to today's show.
Listen to more episodes at cliffandkendall.podbean.com.
3, 3, 2, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1.
Go.
No, you can't. Cliff.